This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible, the prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord, blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come, exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, and I'm so very glad that you've joined us for this broadcast, the Hope Israel Baptist Broadcast. And today we're going to spend most of our time listening to at least one of the last two parts of the series of Tabernacle in the Wilderness that I preach. I know that it's been a blessing to many, many people. And so we're not going to have news analysis today. Tomorrow, God willing, we will. But before we get into the series once again, I'd like you to listen to a wonderful song by the Songs of Zion. Violinist is Maurice Cyclar, and enjoy it to the glory of God.
All right? Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Now, with that in mind, you think about it as I read now. You think about what I'm saying. All right, here's what the Bible says. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. All right, not a dead sacrifice, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, and let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love and honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given the hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Heavenly Father, we come to thee tonight. And dear God, how we need thy help tonight. We thank God for those that have been able to be here. We want to first praise thy holy and righteous name. And dear God, we want to thank thee for all the manifold blessings that you've given to us. And dear God, I want to thank thee for my salvation. I want to thank thee for my family. Oh God, I want to thank thee for the people of God. I want to thank thee, oh Lord, for this church and what this church stands for. I want to thank thee, oh God, for this good pastor that you've raised up here. And dear Lord, I want to thank God for all the ones that are here. I want to thank God for Brother Thompson, Lord, and his family. And I want to pray for his church, Lord. Oh God, I want you to do a mighty work with these churches here. I want to thank God tonight for Brother Green and his church. I want to thank God for any church here in this community, in this city, in the surrounding areas. Lord, as they struggle to remain faithful to Thee in these wicked days of apostasy, in the great onslaught of the devil, and in a Laodicean period, when the mentality is the people want to do everything their way, dear God, I'm praising Thee tonight. There's still some who want to do what's right. There's still some that want to stand by the stuff. There's still some that want to stand in the gap. And I'm so thankful for these who are willing, oh God, to stand and be counted for Thee today. Lord, I pray, O God, that we'll not quench the Holy Ghost tonight. I pray, O God, We'll not grieve the Holy Ghost tonight. And we'll put aside every opinion and every thought and every imagination, and that we might cast it down and bring it into subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ is our earnest prayer. Lord, I pray You'll help us to do that which is pleasing in Thy sight. Help us tonight that You might bring all this together now, the last night of this meeting, that we might walk away with a real appreciation of the glory of God. And we'll be careful to praise You for it. In Christ's holy name, amen. All right, please be seated. How many, this is the first time you've been here tonight. Raise your hand. All right. Good to have you. Bless your heart. All right. And how many have not been able to be here for every night? Raise your hand. All right. I just want to know. That's all. I'm not trying to be critical or anything like that. I know that sometimes it's not possible to be here all the time. But this way it gives me an understanding whether I should go over something real quick. All right. For those that have been here, this is the first time. Let me just do as quickly as I can. I want to do a quick review here because I got to cover a lot tonight. But I want you to understand the whole goal of this tabernacle has been to get into the glory. I want to see the glory of God. Amen? I want to be in the very brilliancy of His glory. I want to see the face of God. That's what I want to see, the face of God. And I really do. Now, we know that one way we see the face of God is we get into the Word of God, right? Jesus said, if you see Me, you see the Father. Jesus said, I am the Word of God. Therefore, if you get in the Word of God, you see the face of Jesus. Therefore, you see the face of God. He said, I am the express image of the Father. Amen. He said, I and My Father are one. That's right. What do the JWs do about all that? He is the very image of God the Father. And so, I want to get in. I want to see the face of God. I want to see the glory of God. We have access to that. Amen. Back in the Old Testament days, only the high priest had access to see the glory of God. He was the only one. Once a year, he was allowed to come in there. But only once a year, nobody had access to the glory of God. Nobody did, except the high priest. For the most part, most of the people of Israel were out here in their tents. You see over here in this picture, the tents over here on the north and the south and the east and all, and their tents all around here. Roughly over 2 million people. But not everybody got inside here. Only the ones that brought the offerings. And the ones that came through the eastern gate. They're the only ones that ever came in there. Not everybody that brought a sacrifice was saved. Some brought sacrifices that weren't qualified or worthy to be a good sacrifice. Some of them brought them and had spots on their lungs, which I've mentioned before. Some of the ones that came in through the eastern gate, which we know the eastern gate's the only way to get in, right? Jesus is the eastern gate. He came from the east. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? You're not going to get to God going to the north, the south, the west. Got to come in through the east. When you come in through the east, you doesn't mean you're saved. Now, you may think you're saved, and some people may think you're saved, but we know that Jesus washed the feet of Judas Iscariot, did He not? Judas was not saved. Judas was a reprobate. Yet Jesus washed his feet. You can come in here, bring a sacrifice, offer a sacrifice, and not even be saved. In other words, you can do all the things required of you, and your heart not be in it, and you're lost as Adolf Hitler himself. That's right. See, in other words, you can give lip service. You can go through the motions. It don't mean you're saved. You have a form of godliness, a fashion of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And then I mentioned there about Eli and his sons. I mentioned about them. While they were ministering in here, they sure were. They participated in all of the parts of the priesthood, every one of them. But yet God had to kill them, and did. You know what they were guilty of? They were guilty of taking the ark out of its resting place, going up there, and bringing it into a battle, and saying that because we got the ark, we're going to win the battle. And guess what? They lost the battle, they lost the ark, and they lost their lives. Just because they brought it didn't mean they're going to win the battle. When sin is present, there is no victory. When sin is forsaken, there's victory. And then Nadab and Abihu, Aaron's sons, they thought that they had authority to take the place of their papa. And they had no authority. And they went in there and they brought strange fire. Now I'm going to just mention something there. It was really the responsibility of the high priest to burn that incense, not his sons. What in the world were the sons doing trying to burn that incense? That's the high priest's duty is to burn that incense. See? I believe that was really where the strange fire was. They may have had all the ingredients. Amen? That's still disputed. We don't know for sure. That's an assumption that we say they used the wrong stuff. The wrong stuff. We can assume they used the wrong stuff. I'm saying to you, they took the authority that didn't belong to them and they went in and God rejected it. That's what I believe. Because the Bible don't say. The Bible says strange fire. And fire without authority. You can have fire. You can do everything right. Without authority, it's no good. Everything got to be done decently and in order. You know, it's true. The old saying is true. Two heads make some monstrosity. Can you imagine having two husbands and one wife? Can you imagine having two wives and one husband? Both is catastrophic. Amen? You got one head. Amen. One head. I'm the head of my body. I am. Hey, good thing I have one head. Wouldn't I look terrible if I had two heads on my body? Good thing I'm the head of my house. Good thing my wife don't boss me around. And when she does, I put her in her place. Amen, man. Come on, you ought to say amen on that. That's right. I just put her in her place. I take her up and put her in her place. I said, that's where you're the happiest, sweetheart, right there. That's where you belong. Amen. Yeah. That's the same way with church. You can't have two heads in the church. You're going to have one head. Amen. In fact, the Bible says, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says, and He is the head of the body, the church, who's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Preeminence, what does that mean? First place. He's the head honcho. That's exactly right. But what He did is He set a shepherd. I don't even like calling them under-shepherds. I don't. A shepherd. He said a human shepherd that represents the chief shepherd, the bishop of our souls. And that human shepherd, which is your pastor, he is the figure-like head of this church. That's exactly right. Can I get an amen on that? That's exactly right. And the fact is, that's why a pastor should not be divorced and remarried. Because he's supposed to be a picture of Christ and His church. And I never read in the Bible where Christ, the head of His church, ever divorced His church, ever will divorce His church. Amen? He's the spouse to one and only one. In fact, if you do a little word study, you'll find out that the word divorce, put away in the New Testament, is linked to the word apostasy. And I know one thing. The true church has never gone apostate. Amen? That's right. Because if it did, it would mean that that church would be divorced from its head. And it won't happen. Christ is the head of His church. We know that this local body of believers is the only picture, the only body, the only example of what that really means. And that's why everything got to be just like that. So we get in here. We realize what's going on inside the court here. We brought our five, there's five offerings. Three of them are the ones that we bring voluntarily. Our God didn't tell us to bring it. He said there are three offerings. The burnt offering, which is consecration. And then we got the peace offering, that's fellowship. And then we got the meal offering, and that's service. Amen. Now those three offerings were provided by God that we do it voluntarily. We don't have to do it. It's because we want to make peace. Then we bring it. Amen. We want to serve God. Then we bring it. We want to consecrate ourselves to God. That's volunteer. Amen. He's not going to force you to consecrate yourself. If He forces you, then you're a robot. He wants you to come willingly. Amen. But the sin offering and the trespass offering, they were mandatory. If you committed a sin of ignorance, if you committed a sin of commission, a willful sin, buddy, you better bring that sacrifice, because if you don't, they're going to kill you. Amen? And what a blessing. So, we came in here, and we've made our sacrifice. And I've mentioned all of that. You're just going to have to get the tape. I can't get into all the detail. And then we got the laver. The laver's where Aaron and his sons got fully wet. I called them the first Baptists. First Baptists. Amen. And they were. And there's no record in there that they had to get fully wet again. What happened was, before they would serve out here, serve the people, help them, they'd have to wash their hands and feet. Before they went into the holy place, they had to wash their hands and feet. All right. But they only got baptized one time. I'll tell you why. Because they only got saved one time. Man alive. And I brought out that example about Peter, that he was clean every whit. He didn't need his whole body baptized. Amen. He just needed his hands. And he just needed his feet clean. That's all. All right. So that's that. All right. And then I talked about the outer court and the hangings and everything like that. And I mentioned about the four coverings. The first covering is fine twine linen. It talks about the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If you're going to come in here, you got to think about His righteousness, not your righteousness. Amen? You also have to think about the second the layer there, which is the goat skin. And it was black. And they used the black goat for the sin offering. That's how bad our sin is. It's black. It's sin. Sin is black. And that's its color. And then the ram skin dyed red. They used the ram to ordain the priest. Jesus Christ, the high priest. Red, obviously, representing His blood. Then last one was the badger skin. That's to protect all of this. And outside here, outside this tent, the tabernacle, we have to weather the storm. Now, if you're smart, you'll get into the holy place and you'll be protected.
You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127 USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127 USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question, as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that, but if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye.
Showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee in the earth, O Lord God of Israel.
This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, and I'm so glad that you've stayed with us for the last half an hour or less to hear the remaining portion of today's broadcasting on the Tabernacle in the Wilderness. Now, if you enjoy this program and believe it's a blessing of God, would you please write us and tell us what the call letters of the station you're listening to the program from and the time that you're listening to the program. It would really help us tremendously. So God bless you as you listen. May the Lord be glorified.
But if you want to try to go through this miserable, wicked old world, you want to try to go through with your own power and your own strength, you're going to get discouraged. I want to get inside here so I can be encouraged. Because I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But I can't do anything without His help. Right? So where you want to be? You want to be out here? You want to be here walking around all the time, looking at these backsliders, looking at these hypocrites? Or you want to be in here with the real ones, the ones that mean business? Now here's the thing. Only the priests were allowed to get into the holy place. Only the high priest was allowed to get into the glory world. You know what I mean? Can you imagine that? Here I am. I think I love God. I think I'm serving God. I'm getting washed every day in that labor. Amen? But the fact of the matter is, I can't get in there because I'm not a priest. And I tell you what, that's sad. But now that I'm saved, I'm a priest. And now I got access. I don't have to go through all the preliminaries. I can just go right through. Amen? But it's not as easy as that. I told you, you got to get in that labor. You got to get your hands, you got to get it, your feet washed, and you got to get cleaned up by the Word of God. The Word of God is what sanctifies us and what cleanses us. All right? The labor teaches four great doctrines. Regeneration, because we are born again by the Word of God. Regeneration. It teaches us illumination. It teaches us self-examination. And it teaches us progressive sanctification. I think I kind of allude to all that. But this is what I want to just kind of emphasize right now. And this is what I like a lot. If you notice here in Romans chapter 12, notice here verse 7. Verse 7, the Bible says, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Now let's look at that for a little minute, a little moment here. When you look at that at first, I don't think most of us understand what that really means. Wait on your ministry? What does that really mean, Brother Freed? Does that mean I'm just kind of waiting right here? I'm waiting here and I'm just kind of waiting for God to tell me to do something? Is that what it means? And I'm just kind of waiting. Is that what it means? Now, a lot of Christians, they act just like what I'm saying. They're waiting for someone to knock them in the head with a baseball bat. Amen? And wake up! Do what I want you to do. Go where I want you to go. Be what I want you to be. Amen? Is that what God's talking about there? The only way you can understand that is by going back in the tabernacle. Here, the Bible says the priests were waiting on their ministry. Now, I'll tell you how they did it. Just like as have every night, I've had a bunch of believers from this church. They've been waiting on me, my wife and I, and my kiddies. They're waiting on me. Would you like some dessert? I got apple pie and butterscotch, and I got ice cream. Can I get that for you? Okay, well, whenever you're ready, I'll be ready. How about you? Would you like a hamburger? I got the best hamburger in the world. How about you? Huh? I got T-bone steak here. Would you like that? Amen. Amen. How about you, dear brother? Would you like this? I just cooked this just for you. I'm waiting for it. Would you just go ahead and take that? Man, go, amen. How about you? Would you like this ice cream here? I made it just for you. I'm waiting on you to take it. Come on now, take it. Amen. How about you, dear brother? I'm waiting on you. Man, are you hungry? Is there anything I can do to help you out? Man, all right. That's the whole thing. Hallelujah, man. Now, that's what I call waiting on somebody. Amen? That's where they got the word waitress and waiter. They're not just sitting down there. No. They come to your table every 5 minutes. Can I help you out? Hey, do you need your mouth washed? I mean, can I wash your feet? Amen? That's what Jesus was doing. He was waiting on the disciples. He said, can I wash your feet? Amen. Yeah. I like that. That's ministering. That's waiting on your ministry. Yeah. Now, here's a bad example of not doing this. Bad example of not doing that is the pastor needs some work to get done. And he's afraid to call anybody because he's afraid to have no as an answer. You know, I know how that is. I was pastoring for some time. I know how that is. So instead of the people waiting on him, he's kind of waiting on them, but not in a good way because, you know, he just doesn't want to bother anybody. Now, that's the bad. That's not how it ought to be working. I'll tell you how it ought to be working. The church people ought to be calling him. Say, Pastor, is there anything I can do to help you? Do you need... I say, I'm not doing anything today. Would you like me to go soul winning? Is there somebody I need to visit? Amen? I want to wait on the pastor. I want to call him. I don't want to wait for him to call me. I'm going to call him. But that's waiting on your ministry. See that? And everybody in this church has that responsibility. Yeah. And the Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him minister as of the ability which God giveth, that God may be glorified. Amen. To whom be praise and dominion and glory and hallelujah. Now, I'll tell you that. God's given us gifts. Everybody here has a gift. Some people have the gift of, you know, they know how to communicate. Some of you have the gift of knowing how to cook. I know that for sure. And some of you have the gift of, well, just like what we're reading right here. You see, this is just like a big tabernacle here. You're all priests. You got a priesthood. Every one of you that are saved is a priest unto God. And you got to approach life like, I'm just like these people. I'm a priest. I need a minister. What am I supposed to do? Am I just supposed to come and sit and listen to the preaching every week and that's all I'm supposed to do? No, you're a priest. There is something everybody here is supposed to do. I don't know what it is, but you better find out what it is. Because you're a priest. The Bible says here. He says here, verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, this is one body of believers here, and all members have not the same office. How many pastors you got in this church? One pastor, amen. How many deacons you got in church? I don't know how many deacons you got. How many you got? That's what you got, amen. One pastor, whatever amount of deacons you got, right? Not everybody has the same office. Notice here. He says there, verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ. It all works together. And everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing. So this already says everybody has a gift. Everybody does. Every born again Christian has a gift. That sure puts a new light on things, doesn't it? If you're just thinking that you're saved simply to sit in a pew and listen to a good sermon, you don't understand what your life's supposed to be like. We are priests unto God. That's a priesthood. That sure shifts the responsibility on you more than it does on the pastor himself. You see what I'm trying to say? Now, the pastor has his responsibility. He's supposed to not be bogged down with all this other stuff. That other stuff's supposed to be your responsibility. In fact, it's not even supposed to be only the deacon's responsibility. I'm not talking about if there's a widow, amen. You know, the deacon's supposed to take care of the widows, amen. He's supposed to take care of the fatherless. But you're supposed to help out too, hallelujah. Amen. If you know someone sick, this dear brother got up here and said this person has cancer. How many of you picked up the phone and called that person and said, now listen, I heard that somebody, you got cancer, or maybe they weren't able to answer the phone. How many of you picked up that phone, exercised your priesthood, and called them and said, I'm praying for you. You're on my heart. How many did that? Now, I won't embarrass you. But it would be a shame if nobody did it. It'd be a crying shame. Well, you know what it would be if I had a problem like that, and I had 10, 15 people from my church calling me that one night? I'd have a Holy Ghost fit. Amen. I wouldn't be discouraged. I'd be so encouraged, it wouldn't matter. Wouldn't matter if God took me home to glory that night. That's the way it ought to be. Are you waiting on your ministry? See, people don't like hearing this stuff. I just like to get to the plow and plow it in thick. Amen? Because I know how I am. I know how I am. I'm prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Amen? And so, you all anxious to get into the glory, aren't you? Man, you just waiting, man. I wish I could get into the glory. Yeah, you waiting to get into the glory. I tell you one thing, you won't have to wait to get into the glory when you start doing what you're supposed to do, because you'll slip right into the glory and you'll say, wow, how did I get here? I'll tell you how you got there. Because you were doing the things you were already supposed to be doing. And then before you know it, you're in the glory world. Amen. That's exactly right. That's how it is. Yes. Oh, yes, that's exactly how it is. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy. Now, I realize we don't have the gift of prophecy today, but we do have the gift of the spirit of prophecy, and the Bible says we have a more sure word of prophecy, which is the Bible. You know, ladies, let me just be frank with you ladies. Can I be frank with you ladies? I would not believe it would be correct that if a lady is in need of some spiritual help, it would be proper for me, a man, hey, to go counsel that woman. I don't agree with it. Why should I have to do that when there should be capable women, including my wife, amen, and there ought to be capable women in this church that I could call upon and say, now, Mrs. So-and-so, listen, my wife is tied up trying to deal with this situation, amen. Now, can I rely upon you to deal with this woman? She's in duress. And you say, well, I don't know if I'm ready or capable. I'm not learning in the Scriptures. I don't know what to say. Why not? It is far better for you to minister to a woman than for me to minister to a woman. Amen? The Bible says, let everything be done decently. It's not decent for me to be witnessing or even talking to a woman. It's not. The Bible says abstain from all appearance of evil. You know something? If there was a woman dying on the street there, and I was in the car by myself, I wouldn't pick her up. I would not do it. No way under heaven. You mean you'd let that poor person die because you want to pick her up? If she dies, then she dies. But I'm not going to have my name drunk through the streets for the next rest 20 years of my life trying to fix my reputation, amen. Oh, here the pastor's driving with a woman that's not even his wife. I won't do it. But I do have a car phone, you know. And I will call 911. And they'll probably be more help to her than I could. And there's no way in heaven I won't give her mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. No way. I'm not going to do it. You say, you're nuts. Well, whatever you want to think. I got a reputation to hold. And to me, it's almost life and death. It's death to my ministry, and I'm not going to make a stupid mistake. That's one thing the pastors can't do. They can't be counseling women by themselves. No way. No way. No way. Now, if the woman needs help with another woman and they can't figure it out, then I'll come in there with my wife and we'll help. We'll do what we can. But there's no way. You see what I'm trying to say? Why, if everybody exercised their priesthood, the pastor sure wouldn't be under duress. Like most pastors are. And I understand what pastors go through. Amen. Now, you're not a church member like this. Well, I pay the pastor good money. He'll do everything we tell him to do. You're not like that, are you? You don't have that mentality that we got this pastor, man, and he does all the visiting, and he does all the calling, and after all, I do pay him to do it, and I'm just going to sit on my pew, and you don't have that mentality here. I wouldn't say that you... Nobody has that here, do they? Well, oh, hey, you're a priest on the job. You need to be exercising your priesthood. And if you don't know what it is, call the pastor, call his wife. Said, I know I got a gift from God. Can you show me from the Bible what that might be? I tell you what, if I'm in a church for about 6 months, I'll know every gift everybody has. This woman speaks more than that woman. She has the gift of gab. And you know what? You know what will keep her out of trouble? Give her something that she can exercise her gift with. Because if you don't, she'll gossip all over creation. Amen, 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 amen. She got to talk. Well, that's fine. Let her talk. There's a lot that she can do with that mouth. Amen? And then there's a woman. She don't say anything. If you get a peep out of her, be, you know, give her a gold medal. Amen? Well, that's a gift, too, to be quiet. It's a gift. Let her go to the hospital. Minister to those dear women that are dying and need a compassionate heart. Amen? See what I'm trying to say, folks? Everybody has a gift from God. And that those gifts need to be developed. Okay. Well, I don't want to stay on that too long. You're about ready to stone me already. Okay. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. It says here, or he that teacheth on teaching. Amen. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Oh, my. Hey, if somebody tells you something, and he's trying to help you a little bit out, and don't take offense. You know, the worst thing, the hardest thing for people is to have other people exhort them to do right. It's pride. You're not going to tell me. I got it all figured out. Here's a dear brother, dear man of God, trying to be as gracious as he can. He sees that your family, you know, is, for example, your family's dressing like the world. Amen? And you've heard the preaching from the Word of God. And the Word of God says, teaching us. What teaches us? We preach grace. I believe in grace. You know what grace teaches us? The grace of God that bringeth salvation is appeared to all men. They always forget the next verse, Brother Greg. Isn't that right? I preach grace. What does that grace teach you? Teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Wow. See that? Now, I'll never go to a woman and say, now, your dress is about 2 feet too short. I'll never do that. I like to do it sometimes. But some of you godly women here, if you see that, you ought to take that dear lady and say, listen, I want to take you out shopping. You don't have to say anything, really. Just take her out shopping. And said, sweetheart, I love you, and I'm going to find you a good godly dress. Now, if she don't get the message after that, I don't know what else is going to help her. Amen? You see what I'm saying? But you did it graciously. You did it lovingly. And what I'm trying to say, the Bible don't say how long the dress ought to be. I mean, those again, except I can show you that when Jesus appeared, it says his robe was down to the floor. And the priest's garment was down to the floor. What do you think about that? No, I'm just trying to say, the Bible doesn't explain everything. Some of this stuff we have to learn by example. By our women, thy godly women are to teach the younger women to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Am I right? Now, hey, listen, I work with anybody. I don't care how long they're in the church. If they're in the church 10 years and they love God and they want to be taught and they got a teachable spirit, I won't make them feel like a dirt bag. I'll love them. But I got to teach them. You teach them by the Word of God, but you ladies got to teach by example. Amen, 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 amen. I never had a problem with a woman or a man in the churches I've ever pastored, that if they're willing, if they have a teachable spirit, and you approach them with not a holier-than-thou attitude, normally they will conform to what's right. And they may not even understand it. You know, when I first met my wife, she's a missionary kid, she had shorts on, tight shorts. And man, I just got saved. I'm a man of the world. I'm trying to come out of the world. See what I mean? And my wife at tight church is a missionary kid. Can you believe it? She grew up in the Philippines. She didn't know anything about this stuff. When I met her, she didn't have shoes on her feet. Can you believe that? And I thought to myself, man alive, But when I married her, things changed rapidly, real rapidly. Nowhere in the Bible did it say my wife couldn't wear tight shorts, but I knew one thing. If I liked her in tight shorts, so did every other creature, amen? And I wasn't about to let her be a temptation to other men, especially Christian men. Amen? That's why I don't go to movies. The Bible doesn't say, thou shalt not go to the movie theater. It doesn't say it. But I won't go because I don't want to cause a young Christian to stumble. God said, better take a millstone, wrap it around your neck, amen, and throw it out there in the ocean than to cause a young Christian to stumble. Amen? No way I'm not going to do that. Oh, I can justify about anything. I can do anything. I got liberty, amen? I got liberty! And the Bible says all things are lawful unto us. I mean, no one's going to kill me and drag me to jail and put me in jail and hang me. If I go to the beach and lay out of the beach, no one's going to file take me to the court.
With all of their hearts. Oh, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like Thee in the heavens.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent. That is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God. With sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by His own blood, and call upon Him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to His Word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by free will offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your free will donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or P-O-W-D-E-R-S-P-R-I-N-G-S, Georgia, or GA, 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. And my earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.